reading from the Gospel of John. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept them because it neither sees them nor knows them, but you know them, for they live with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Will you join with me in prayer? O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you and be for a revolution. Amen. Recently, a friend of mine confessed that he was having some troubles with the deconstruction of his faith, regardless of how progressive and affirming to all people the churches he would attend were. He would still feel tension in attending them. I understand that. Following service, I am generally exhausted, as are most pastors, and expecting me to be able to have a meeting or do a visitation that afternoon is generally not something that I have the energy to do. Part of my own issues come from the emotional labor that is required in a Sunday morning. Some of it is wrestling with my own faith journeys. That said, I'm going to move because I feel like these flowers are just, they're beautiful, but they're blocking my view of all of you beautiful people on this side. So we're just going to sit and it's going to be good. And there we go. So most pastors are also exhausted after Sunday morning services. And expecting myself or others to have a meeting or do a visitation that afternoon is generally not something that I have the energy to do. Part of my own issues come from the emotional labor that is required in a Sunday morning. Some of it is wrestling with my own faith journeys. That said, if someone were to tell me that they couldn't attend service, but they wanted to attend more community gatherings, then I hope my response would be, good. I look forward to seeing you at our lunches, in the communities, or dinners at homes. To me, being a Christian means a lot more than just reading your Bible on your own, or finding God in nature, as important as that can be. And if being a Christian just means going to a church, then being a car means going to a garage. Ultimately, as it has been stressed, being a Christian means having love as central to our lives. And a way that we show our love is by doing the work of Christ in the world. Now, how we show our love is important, and we do this in various ways, and we feel it. We feel love in different ways as well. In 1992, Gary Chapman published a book called The Five Love Languages. How many of you are familiar with love languages? Okay, so a number of you are. That's good. It outlines five ways partners express and feel love, including words of affirmation, quality time, gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. Physical touch is my first, hence why I appreciate hugs and handshakes. so very much. And words of affirmation and quality time tie for me for second. As an example, though I also like gifts. I don't know anyone who doesn't like gifts. Every love language is important and should be celebrated. I think it's important to learn about each other's love languages and share those with one another so that we can show each other love for each other more clearly. I hope that if you don't know what your love language is, that you might explore that and let me know so that we can celebrate love for each other here in this community. I think Jesus is trying to share his love language with his disciples. And if we look at the Gospels, we can perhaps make a guess at what love language in action looks like. That is not to say that the other love languages are not also sacred, nor that those who embrace the love language of Jesus as their primary love language are closer to being Christ. But if we love Jesus or anyone, then I think it's important to show that language in the way that they ask for it. I also think it's important to understand that if you say to someone, if you love me, then you'll do X, Y, or Z, that's generally not healthy. And usually it's emotional manipulation, even when it's Jesus. So that's a bit of deconstruction that I think we might want to consider. That said, when Jesus says, if you love me, you will follow my commandments, it is less of a, if you love me, then you will do X, Y, and Z, but more of a following Christ's commandments is a sign of love for Christ. I think that as Protestants, we can, and I feel that evangelicals do this more than others, we can say that we believe in Christ and we are saved, and that's the end of it. Except that Christ here is saying that's not the end of it. If we are saved or if we follow Christ, if the saved language is a bit too questionable or concerning for us, then what that looks like is following Christ's commandments. We don't receive the commandment that Jesus is referring to until 15:2. Which says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So that's what we need to put this scripture in light of, that if we love Jesus, we will also love one another. I think that sometimes, even when we are surrounded by people we love, we can be lonely. Has anyone else ever felt alone in a crowd? Yeah? It can be lonely for me, even. Jesus, who is many things to so many people, knew that when he was gone, there would need to be someone to be with us on the way, to lift us up, encourage us, and be our present source of encouragement. So Jesus promised the Paraclete, like Jesus, would be sent from God to give us encouragement. Paraclete is translated in many ways. The NRSV translates it as advocate, comforter, or helper. The NIV as counselor. The CEB as companion. The NASB as helper. The Message as friend. KJV as comforter. This is generally thought of as the Holy Spirit, which I generally picture as the breath of God. When I think of the breath of God supporting us, breathing on us, blessing us, it's hard not to picture Aslan from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, breathing on all of those who are injured and in need, those who have been turned to stone, and those who need encouragement. It gives me a sense of comfort and encouragement, but it's not my favorite way of picturing the Holy Spirit. Gordon Kaufman, in his book, In Face of Mystery, wrote that one sees the Holy Spirit in the movement of the people of God. I truly believe that. It is not just in the church, but in the world where we see the beauty of the Holy Spirit truly alive. This is part of why movement building and protests are so important to me. When we see the people of God truly caring for the world and all her inhabitants, then we see the Holy Spirit at work. It is a sacred thing, just as sacred as everything we do here. That breath of God, that present co-conspirator and co-agitator, joining us in urging the world to change. In a Bible study that I attend rather than lead, which is a nice thing for pastors to do, that Bible study is called the Bible Study of the Freedom Church of the Poor. A friend of mine talked about how she was a good ally, and she didn't use those words, but I used them for her. An older woman had said some homophobic things, and my friend, who also happens to be a bit chronologically gifted, said some hard truths to her in a desire to have that woman shift her views. I don't know if it was successful, but I do know that to me, that's what the Holy Spirit looks like, having the guts to speak up when necessary and not just let things go on. Similarly, every day in North Portland, I see the Holy Spirit moving. I see it moving as churches co-conspire together to try to reach those who are in most need. I see it moving as people find ways of supporting the most vulnerable in our streets. I see it moving in the friendships and relationships that are created, and people strengthen each other and lift one another up. In Les Miserables, Victor Hugo says that to love Victor Hugo says to love another person is to see the face of God. So my question for you is, how are you going to love someone else today? Because this is transitive. If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. It's not transactional. Jesus loves all of us. If we love Jesus, then we will love one another. We are not required to love, but if we don't, then it's not possible for us to love Jesus. I am often asked if I am getting impatient or how hard it must be to wait to see all that I want to see come true for this church. And I do. I have so many things that I'd like to see come true for this church. And I believe that it will. I'm not impatient, though. I am loving every moment of it. I love every moment of it because I love you. I love who we are. I love this place. And I love North Portland. The message puts it like this. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I am alive and you are about to become alive. So how can we be anything but full of excitement, knowing that Portsmouth Union Church is about to become alive? It might take a little, and it will take a lot of work. But we are about to become alive. Thank God for a love like that. Amen.